Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis. Coming to you from Tehran, I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for joining us. Well, as more attacks take place in Syria, the Syrian people have gone to the poll to vote on a new constitution. Now, this is one of many steps that are being taken in efforts to bring reform to Syria. And as the government tries to bring about changes, external parties want to implement their own changes in Syria, meaning the removal of the current regime. Will the elections be enough to hold off those entities lurking to bring down the Syrian government?
Syrian president, along with his wife, voting in a referendum on the country's new constitution. The government says the new charter could pave the way for democracy.
We came here today to vote for the new constitution that was proposed by the president. May God save him.
As one of the most significant changes, the new constitution would drop an article that places President Bashar al-Assad's Ba'ath Party as state leader. This would allow a multi-party political system and prevent the president from being in power for more than 2 7-year terms.
I found the constitution very good after reading most of it. Though flaws could be found in the clauses, the parliament will amend them.
Reforms are not just a constitution. Reforms are practical acts on the ground. Therefore, the constitution creates a necessary atmosphere to start the reforms that will move Syria towards the future.
Although Syrians are casting their ballots, the referendum is strongly opposed outside Syria by a number of countries like Qatar and Saudi Arabia. At the so-called Friends of Syria meeting in Tunisia last week, Riyadh called for sending more weapons to armed groups fighting the Assad government in some parts of Syria. Also, Doha has openly asked for an Arab military intervention in Syria. The meeting was attended by Western countries, including the U.S. and Britain, which Damascus has called enemies of Syria. The Saudi regime has frequently criticized Damascus for cracking down on dissent. This, while Riyadh has been frequently condemned for violating human rights and silencing dissent. The other critic of Syria, that is Qatar, is no better either. The president of Qatar's main Western ally, the U.S., last year scoffed at the Qatari emir at a fundraiser in Chicago. Barack Obama was caught on tape deriding Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani for advocating democracy everywhere but in his own country. The countries supporting dialogue in Syria include permanent members of the U.N. Security Council, Russia and China. However, calls from Saudi Arabia and Qatar for sending arms into Syria and military intervention in the country come as they, along with their Western allies, have consistently urged dialogue between Palestinians and Israel. The unrest in Syria has claimed a large number of both civilian and security personnel's lives. Damascus says the unrest is part of a foreign plot against the country.
I'd like to welcome a guest to the program from London, Mr. Haytham Al-Sabahi, a member of the Syrian Social Club. And from Damascus, political analyst Mr. Wada Al-Khatib. And from Washington, professor of law, Georgetown University, Mr. Dawood Khairullah. Welcome all of you to the program. We appreciate you joining us. Well, let's start this off in London. How important is the timing of these elections, and do you think it will make a difference in the overall scheme of things as far as bringing calm back to Syria?
First of all, good evening to you and to your guests and your viewers.
Good evening.
Allow me 2 minutes or 1 minute to say something on personal level and on behalf of the Syrian Social Club. We are really very jubilant and happy for a remarkable day in Syria today on the referendum, which it will pave the path for a greater reform in Syria and for the Syrians to understand further the democracy is in a sense of the ballot box, which is the essence of the democracy. Today was a fantastic day, and for all the Syrians, despite what their opinion, if they voted yes or they no, this is what is the democracy about, and this is what we've been waiting for 11 months, non-stop, was working hard on the ground to reach this point, which it will open the way and pave the path to much larger political process.
So obviously you think that the elections, holding the elections right now, has been success. What about the overall timing? Do you think that the timing is good enough that it can actually help bring calm back to your country?
Well, I hope so. Some people will see reforms do take time. There is nothing happens between one day, but maybe it came a little bit late, but it's late better than never, and in very sure steps. We have to, in Syria, understand there is a lot of problems, and there were a lot of legislations, discussions to reach this point, but I am sure from now on the reform and the political process could be much, much faster taking place.
All right, let me turn to Damascus itself and get Mr. Al-Khatib in on this. So as the Syrian people are trying to bring about changes in the country, in your perspective, why are outside entities continuing to interfere in this process?
Well, I mean, first of all, outside entity have no business interfering in a referendum on a constitution in any country. I think it's just a sample of the type of strong interventionist policies that the United States have been carrying out for a good part of the 20th century and the beginning of this century. Outside parties that are against the referendum on a new constitution have been defined by your report. We're talking about the Gulf monarchies, most of which have no constitution, and the whole process of voting does not exist. And then countries that historically have not been very good friends of the Syrian people or of the other Arabs. The United States, for example, not approving or not accepting the concept of a referendum on a constitution contradicts this very foundation, the foundations on which the United States was created. I think it's more about what they don't want to see in Syria, which is a move towards a political process that involves various spectrums of opinions of the Syrian society. And I think they don't want to see this under the leadership, the current leadership, and this is why they're not happy.
Well, let me turn to Washington, Professor Khairullah, a legal expert. From the international perspective, especially legal perspective, how can these countries be allowed to interfere in the affairs of a sovereign country without basically any type of checks and balances, and basically not many entities in the international scene saying very much about their interference?
Well, if we resort to international law, foreign intervention in the internal affairs of countries is prohibited, is forbidden. Even the Charter of the United Nations, the Article 2, Section 7, I believe, prevents even the United Nations from interfering in the internal affairs of member countries. So the intervention from the outside is without legal or moral justification. The only time it becomes allowed if there are crimes against humanity and crimes of war, and this is the only party in the world that has jurisdiction over this is the Security Council.
And okay, so that is what's said, according to you, as far as the Security Council and international legal perspective. But why isn't that the case? Why is what is being practiced so far from the law?
Well, that's because in the United Nations, the Security Council has become a vehicle for countries who have a special privilege, the countries who have the veto power, the U.S. has used its privilege, has abused this privilege in so many occasions, especially with respect to Israel. So the United Nations and the Security Council have become a vehicle to implement the will of member countries, irrespective of international law, and could cite a number of resolutions by the Security Council, those who have seen the light, because so many of them, because of the veto, did not see the light. Even those who have seen the light were frustrated, were not implemented. But this is aside. In this, with respect to the what is going on in Syria now, it's the voting and the constitution. Law is the vehicle through which design or internal design, it's a form of social engineering, political engineering in countries, in civilized ways, is done through laws. And the mother of all laws is the constitution. So what is being done in Syria now is the most expressive move of social and political will in the country to bring about a change that would reflect a collective will in the country. And this is a purely internal matter, and it should be done by the Syrian through and only for the Syrian interest.
All right, well, Mr. Al-Sabahi, do you think that with the reforms now that are in the process, well, let's look at the legitimate opposition in the Syrian government. Do you think that it will make a difference? Do you think that they're satisfied at what has taken place at the election today? Now, we're not talking about the, as it's called, the foreign-backed gangs and so-called opposition, but legitimate opposition that does exist within Syria.
Well, despite what everyone in Syria, including the internal opposition, they agree or they don't agree, is the most important. We are all Syrians agree to one thing. We agree we have to go forward, and forward is the only way for a political process. There is a political process, and there will be one as we go. And good luck to any of the opposition. They enter to government. They win some vote on the ballot box to change anything later, to issue a new legislations to change the way. It's all will happen in the parliament, all will happen in the ballot box. It is a little bit a slow process, but they have to wait and see and work like any party in the world on the ground and fight on the ground with their supporters just to win democratically what is they think right, and all. And the others, of course, will win what they think right. And this is how we will take Syria to absolutely different stage on the international arena. And the Syrians will be very happy, and all the Syrians will be very happy to see this process.
Okay. Well, Mr. Al-Khatib, let's look at U.S. officials from the president there on down have openly said that they will use all means available to bring down Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. What do you exactly think that that means, all means available? Do you think that includes bombings, assassinations, chaos, creating chaos? What do you get from that phrase, all means available?
Well, it could mean in a different time, military intervention. We were talking in 2012, in a rather difficult election year for President Obama. It would be interesting to see how the United States would try to intervene in all possible ways during the ensuing months. I mean, in a couple of months, Mr. Obama would be very busy just trying to keep himself in office. The United States has been intervening in this crisis from the very beginning. We think through the provision of funds and training and arms to various members of various armed groups that have been working and functioning in Syria. And I think in the very near future, we're going to see evidence of that. I think at this point, what we're hearing from the United States is nothing but political posturing in an election year. The conference that we've seen in Tunis a couple of days ago was a perfect example. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton avoided any direct reference to military intervention during the conference, which made the Saudi foreign minister not very happy. So I think the Americans will be very loud in the next few months, but I seriously doubt that they will actually commit the mistake at this point of being militarily on the ground or even trying a bombing campaign.
Let me turn to Washington. What's your take on that? Professor Khairullah, our guest in Damascus, says he doesn't think that they will try to interfere militarily. But if we look at what took place in the United Nations just a couple of weeks back, do you not think that the United States was really trying to get the okay to go into Syria and had if China and Russia had not blocked that referendum, do you think it would have been likely that they would have gone in? We would have seen a scenario similar to, let's say, Libya.
I think the chances are very good that that's the direction we would have gone. Although now the U.S. realizes that its intelligence sources, military intelligence, CIA and others, are telling them that the situation in Syria is extremely complicated in light of the chaos among the opposition and the different branches, Al-Qaeda and things like this, and the fact that a civil war in Syria would create havoc. But there are some elements in the U.S., among the decision makers, elements that are close to Israel, who would like to see in Syria, not necessarily a takeover, but dismantling Syria. I mean, they'd like to see the disintegration of Syria. And this will be done through a civil war. So they would encourage the shipment of arms. They would encourage the smuggling of all kinds of combatants there. But they realize that they want to keep a safe distance from being responsible directly for that. So the ambivalent position that the Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton, has taken about the intervention in Syria, the military intervention, at one time she says that we will not intervene directly militarily, but we think that the opposition is going to get the weapons one way or another. So she is not that opposed to it. But there are some elements here who don't wish well to Syria and who seek the Syrian integration rather than any party ruling a united Syria. And obvious, it is obvious who that parties are and in what ways Israel would benefit from this.
Well, Mr. Al-Sabahi, let's look at some of those so-called opposition parties. Let's talk about this Friends of Syria group that the United States supports and usually talk about. In your perspective, who is making up this group in general?
Well, this is some group who is outside Syria, who they've been actually imprisoned themselves to the ideal on a few Western countries. Unfortunately, it's helped with some Arab countries, but really, until now, they have not reached one of their targets. They've been jumping from one target to another without accomplishing any on one of those. What we've seen in Tunisia in the last 3 days ago was absolute failure for their agenda and their cooperation. Actually, they were absolutely disjointed. There were no one agenda whatsoever, and we've seen, of course, the British came with one agenda and the Qataris came with one agenda, and what's so called the Syrian National Council came with one agenda. A lot of those people who they've been pushing for trouble in Syria, they didn't attend even. So that will tell us they're coming, they're coming to their end with what they prepared in the last 11 months, and Tunisia conference, or what they called the Friends of Syria, it was absolutely safe, face-saving, what you, and there's nothing will come out. As soon as the Syrians keep uniting, their country, Syria, is first. When is Syria is first, we all Syrians understand there's no interference from outside, there's nobody will come to us, we will solve our problems ourselves in Syria and on the table of what you call it, dialogue or negotiation.
Okay, Mr. Al-Khatib, your take on what our guest has said. When Syria comes first, let's look at the violence that we have seen inside of the country. And probably the question for many would be, a legitimate opposition, would they be involved in also the type of violence that we have seen? We know that at least 2,000 security personnel are among the dead, and it would seem that a nationalist of any country, that they really would not benefit from this type of chaos. What is your take in general on that so-called opposition doing this?
Well, as you said, I think a legitimate opposition would seek a transfer of power through the ballot box. The fact that there are certain people who claim to be so-called national opposition who have been trying through violent means to change the government and to dismember the country really discredits their claim for a more democratic Syria that they're trying to create. I think there are people in Syria who are opposed to the government and who seek in peaceful ways to express that opposition. And this is the only legitimate opposition that anyone can think of. People who carry guns and kill those who disagree with them are hardly entitled to speak about democracy and to seek to change a government. And unfortunately, we have seen a lot of this in Syria in the last 11 months. But I have to say that in the last couple of weeks, the security situation has improved dramatically up to the day of the referendum today.
Okay. So I'm sorry, but we are out of time. I'd like to thank you, Mr. Haitham Al-Sabahi, member of the Syrian Social Club in London and in Damascus, political analyst Mr. Wahed Al-Khatib, and from Washington, professor of law at Georgetown University, Dawood Khairullah. Thank you all for being with us. And viewers, thank you as
thank
always.
You
we appreciate
much.
You being with us. Join us here, same time
thank
tomorrow.
You.
For another news analysis. I'm Marzieh Hashimi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much for joining us, and goodbye.